And I have with me on the line Rabbi Galperin.
Good morning, Ilan.
Good morning. You did it, Rabbi. Good job. You are fast. Sometimes you surprise me.
We'll try. You know, my kids are all finished school now, so it's like you got to find a nice, quiet place in the house.
Yeah.
That I can talk for a couple of minutes.
And the house is not huge. I've been there.
So it's, but thank God.
Good. So Parshat Chukot.
Parshat Chukot is an interesting parsha because if you know the word Chukah means, you know, laws.
Yeah.
And that's more of the idea of that we don't necessarily have reason for what you know, for what the things, we just do it because it's what we're supposed to do. And for example, one of the things that is brought down in the 6 Torah portion is the law of the red heifer.
Yeah.
Whose ashes, you know, purify a person who has been contaminated by contact with a dead body. And there's no reason why we do the red heifer. The idea that when God explained this to Moses, Moses was first looking at him as, well, what's the reasoning? What's the meaning behind all this? And God obviously said the fact that, you know, you were going to accept me as God and the divine inspiration and so on and so forth. By accepting that, you understand that the red heifer is just something that we're going to do and there's no explanation for it as well. You know, after 40 years of journeying through the desert, the people arrive in the wilderness and Miriam dies and the people thirst for water because they had the well of Miriam for all the time that they were there. And God tells Moses to speak to a rock and command it to give water, but Moses gets angry and rebels, and he strikes the stone instead. And because of that, Moses was punished that he would not enter into the promised land.
Yeah, big punishment.
Well, you know, there's always the question of, you know, does the punishment fit the crime? And if you go and look, yeah, I mean, it's a very, very harsh punishment idea, the fact that Moses is not going to be able to go into the land of Israel. But at the level that Moses was, as the leader, and doubting God when God doesn't speak and you hit the rock, then, you know, there's the consequence that's obviously going to be bigger than something you and I do.
Yeah.
So this idea of the red heifer is very, very interesting because, you know, we find people, there are a lot of different walks of life, different people in the world, and there are people that are, you know, more grumpy, satisfied, bored, so on and so forth. The question is really is, you know, you find a lot of people that are satisfied in Judaism, they're happy, and others, for example, are just bored stiff. They can't stand it. Why? Why is there certain people that love it and certain people that don't love it? And why is the faith exciting for some and irrelevant for others? You know, a joy for one person and an absolute burden for the next. So, you know, a person cannot imagine. There are some people who cannot imagine, you know, going to work without first putting on tefillin. And there are others that haven't seen tefillin since their bar mitzvah, you know, 40 years ago, for example. And this woman can't wait to go to shul. And the other can't wait to get out. Why? Where is the disconnect that some people enjoy it, like it, and some people don't? So this week, as we mentioned, we read about the ultimate mitzvah of faith, which is the red heifer. And it is a statutory commandment whose reason still remains a mystery. Now, for me, I mean, if you think about it, to take the ashes of a red heifer and sprinkle them on a person so he may attain spiritual purification is, you know, it's a little bit strange. It's mind-boggling. I mean, why would that make something better? You know, and if you think, you know, according to the Midrash, according to the explanation, the Almighty promised Moses that to him he would reveal the secret meaning of the mitzvah. Only to Moses will he know the mitzvah of why we do the red heifer. It's like, you know, there's only one or two people that know the secret of Coca-Cola. But yeah. You don't know the secret. You don't know all the ingredients, but you still drink it. And only after Moses would initially accept it as a divine decree, then he would, God would then reveal it to him. And if he would first take it on faith, know it, that I have to do, thereafter rational understanding would follow. So first, the fact that I'm going to do it, I'm going to understand it, then I deal with it later. So the truth is that there are answers to virtually every question people have about Judaism. You know, intelligent skeptics are amazed what they had long written off as empty ritual is actually philosophically profound. You know, which have rich meaning, but the skeptic has to be ready to listen. You know, you can hear the most eloquent intellectual explanation, but if you're mentally prepared to accept that, listening may in fact be a worthwhile exercise. Chances are, you know, you won't be impressed if you're not really wanting to understand or listen. But once we stop resisting and accept that there's an inherent validity, suddenly Judaism makes all the sense in the world. Suddenly, I understand what's going on. So it's a psychological fact that we can grasp that what we sincerely want to and desire to understand. But if there's a subject which we have no interest, we automatically go into sort of this mental block. And we don't want to understand it. We don't want to read it. We don't even want to hear it. You know, and the sixth Lubavitcher Rebbe, the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak, he explains that why is it that you know, the great businessman, the big entrepreneur, he may sit, you know, for example, in a Talmud class, and he might find himself struggling to grasp basic principles of reasoning. Nothing that's too complicated. And so, why is it that this same person who can make the most brilliant schemes in the boardroom fails to follow straightforward logic in the Talmud class? He's making billions of dollars. But for him to sit in a class to learn Talmud, which is, you know, philosophical, which is similar to law, you know, a good lawyer is...
Like high studies.
Right. A good lawyer is someone that learns the Talmud. But that... he has big issues with. But making decisions in that cost billions of dollars, that is no issue. Why? And the answer is that the previous Rebbe says is that this businessman is really not that interested in the subject. But if it was half as important to him as making money, he would be a piece of cake. It would be easy for him to understand it. So this in the same way that God told Moses that he could come to comprehend the meaning of the red heifer, but only after he accepted it. Only if he accepted that this is a divine decree, and your mind is open, you have no pre-reservation, that you're going to be able to understand it. But similar today, that those who generally wish to understand Judaism will succeed, but only if you first... quote unquote, buy into the product on some level first. You first have to be able to understand it. You know, you meet people. I remember there was someone that was telling me that he was at this a weekend with people, and this rabbi was lecturing about certain things, and a young man shouted out from the back of the lecture, "How can you expect me to put on tefillin if I don't believe in God?
Yeah.
I don't believe in God." And the speaker told him, first put on tefillin, and then I promise you that you'll really start to believe in God. So we all, because ultimately we all have a godly faith inside us. It just needs to be revealed. And as illogical as it may sound, if we start by observing a mitzvah, we find that our faith will follow through and begin to blossom. It has been shown, you know, true again and again, that if we're not interested, no answer will be good enough. And if we are generally searching for truth and we are objective, there are ample and meaningful answers. So the ultimate thing of the red heifer is the fact that we don't understand the reason for it. But the fact that we believe in Hashem, believe in God, and God is the divine inspiration, and we have this genuine belief in God. Therefore, regardless of if I understand or if I don't understand, I'm still going to believe in it. And that's how we, you know, not everything in life, we go and say, do I believe in it? You know, something I really just want to do. It's a gut feeling. I don't know. It's irrational. But I'm still going to go and do it.
There is something that's behind.
Exactly. And that is why Moses was told that only after you do the red, after you take upon yourself the idea of the red heifer and you can deal with it, then after that, Moses will get the reasoning for that. So that is something that I saw was beautiful in this big PowerPoint.
It is. And Rabbi, services at Sha'arei Shamayim.
Services are 7 p.m. Friday evening, and Saturday morning, Shabbat morning, 9:30 a.m., and Sunday morning, 8:15, followed by breakfast in the Shar or Shamayim. And Monday and Thursday are in the Paris house at 7:15 in the morning. And it's a great way to start your day. You put on tefillin and you start your day and you go to work. Absolutely beautiful. It's a different day.
It is. So I wanted to thank you.
Thank you, and wish you a Shabbat Shalom.
And I wish you one too. And next week it's going to be a recorded show. So mm-hmm. I will not be here. We will not have the interview, but we'll be here the week after.
Absolutely.
So, Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Be well.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.